You can be seated. God's grace, mercy, and His peace are yours in Jesus Christ, who is our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Go ahead and find a Bible. We are going to go to Acts chapter 8 today as we are working our way through the book of Acts. If you're just jumping in or if you found us online, hey, I'm Pastor Tim, and we've been walking through the book of Acts, looking at different ways that the Holy Spirit is working among His people. So we began with Jesus' ascension and the choosing of Matthias, and we walked through the story of Pentecost. We saw how the church was persecuted and the church's response in the light of fear. Next week, Pastor Ritt, he's going to be sharing about the story of Saul's conversion. And certainly if you grew up in church, you probably are a little bit familiar with that story, but we believe that there are lessons that we can learn through these early years of the church. But today we want to pause here at the end of chapter 8 and look at these two characters, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, this Ethiopian man. So if you're there, I'm going to begin in verse 26 and just read the story, and then we'll have a couple takeaways and prepare our hearts to receive the Lord's Supper. So page 917 if you're using a Bible right in front of you, okay? Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." In other words, it's a really dangerous road. "And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Cadmus, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: 'Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth.' And the eunuch said to Philip, 'About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?' Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' He commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went away rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus. As he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea." This is God's word. So, Father, we pray this morning that you would open our eyes, that you would allow your word to speak to us. We ask your Holy Spirit to block out distraction, indeed, that the evil one would have no power over us in these moments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ethiopian eunuchs. They are sexually altered men. And no doubt they were not unique in the time of the time of Acts. And so there's two things that we learn about the history around this story of this Ethiopian man and Philip. First, about the Ethiopian eunuch. This man, he's at the top of his game. He is the CFO of Ethiopia. You can put it in that context. He's the man of great power. He's successful. And he has paid a great price to get there. In Greek, I don't know if you knew this, the word for eunuch is the same for prime minister. They can be used interchangeably. So this Ethiopian eunuch, he is the prime minister, the representative of the entire country of Ethiopia, and certainly the representative of the queen. And what we discover is that if you were an Ethiopian eunuch, the sexually altered male, and you were going to make it into the royal courts and work alongside other female royalty of the royal family, there could be no chances taken. You had to be trusted. You had to be trusted emotionally and physically. You had to be trusted with a variety of people from a variety of different walks and ways. And while that may shock you and you may kind of jolt your human rights bug and bend, if you have one, it really shouldn't. Because think about it, in our own lives today, in order to make it to the top, we have to make decisions. In order to make it to the top of our careers, the top of our game, we have to make sacrifices. Some of us, we sacrifice time. For others of us, we sacrifice hobbies or free time. Others, of course, sacrifice marriage and family. Certainly, we all sacrifice relationships with someone or something. In order to be successful in the eyes of the world, we humans sacrifice. We pay a price. Which means things have not changed all that much since the time of Philip and this Ethiopian man and our time today. But here's the thing. This man from Ethiopia, although he has risen to the top, he has made a sacrifice to get there, he is not happy. In fact, he is so not happy that he is spiritually empty. And how do we know that? Because he's made it to the top, he's paid the price, and yet he's spiritually empty. And you see, Ethiopia is far, far away from the rest of the Jewish world. It would have been at the end of the known world. It would have been Shanghai, China, to St. Charles, Illinois. People didn't come back from there. You'd go there and you'd never come back. Hundreds of miles away. And he had to go through Egypt, which was this desert land and super dangerous. And yet we see this man here in verse 27. Where is he going? He's going directly through Europe, this man. And where is he coming from? He's coming from Jerusalem. He was there to worship. In fact, if you remember the Pentecost story, that was the festival that he would have went to Jerusalem to celebrate. He would have been there at the time when the Holy Spirit came. He would have been there in the crowds. He would have heard Peter's sermon. He would have been part of that incredible experience. And yet, while thousands of people were, in a sense, converted and baptized in that moment, this Ethiopian man was not one of them. But let's just take another step back. Put yourself in the shoes of this Ethiopian man. Leaving his job as a CFO of an entire country for several months. This would have taken several months to complete this round trip journey through Egypt to Jerusalem, staying there, then coming back. And can you just imagine from your job saying, "Hey boss, I'm going to leave for several months on the spiritual journey because I'm empty. I know I've made it, but there's something missing. And I'm just going to take this 4-month time off, leave of absence, to go worship this God that I'm not really sure who he is in Jerusalem." If you were his coworkers, you'd say, "What? Are you kidding? You can't be serious." And yet that's how deep this man was seeking. He was seeking something that much greater to fill his emptiness. He was spiritually dissatisfied from all of his success. So he goes on the spiritual journey. But imagine this. When he gets to Jerusalem, because he's black, he's an Ethiopian, and he's a eunuch. He has been altered, physically altered. When he'd walk up those temple stairs, he wouldn't be greeted as a fellow Jew. He wouldn't have been greeted as a fellow believer. Or rather, the door would have been shut in his face. You see, Jewish folks were not allowed in the temple. Even though this man would have been seeking something, the God of the universe that he knew was missing in his life, the door would have been shut. And add to that, because he was physically altered, no one who was physically altered could enter the presence of the Most High God. Of course not. Can you imagine his reaction? "I've traveled all this way. I've sought the God of the universe. I have followed this deep spiritual yearning, and I think I have found what I've always been searching for, only to get up to the doors of the church and for the temple guard to say, 'No further, no more. You're not welcome here.'" You can imagine him getting back in his chariot and heading back through Egypt. And what was going through his mind? "What, Pete? This is the God who's created us? This is the God who supposedly loves me, and yet I'm not welcome? People like me are not allowed in the temple? Are you kidding me? But then we get a little peek into the moment where the power of God's word outside of his own experience begins to capture his heart. Take a look with me at verse 32. This is what he's reading. He's reading, like a sheep was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth, and his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation, for his life was taken away? And the context around this verse is this. Take a look up at the screen. This is what he would have read just before that. He would have read, let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. Wow. The exact opposite of his experience. And to boot, now mind you, this was written hundreds of years before his experience. Let no eunuch, that'd be him, complain. Let's read it. I am only a dry tree. In other words, let no eunuch say, I'm not good enough. I don't belong. And this is how the verse continues. Check it out. For this is what the Lord says. In the face of that rejection, in the face of that tension, in the face of that experience, this is what the Lord said to that eunuch. To the eunuch who keeps my Sabbath. In other words, to the eunuchs who are faithful, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenants. In other words, the promise I have of my people is not dependent on your behavior or your personal experience or reality. It's based on God's promise to us. To them, I will give within my temple. So even though he has not been able to step into the temple, he's now invited into the temple and its walls. And this is what you'll experience, a memorial and a name better than the sons and daughters. And then the most sweet words that this eunuch man would have heard. Let's read this last sentence together, okay? I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. As you can imagine, the tears running down his face and this movement of God's Holy Spirit through the reading of his word. The Spirit of God knows what's going on, and apart from this situation, sends this man, Philip, to sit with him. To ask, do you understand any of this? You can imagine the questions. You can imagine the dialogue. We don't have it all here, but you can imagine it, right? What? Really? This is for me. This is not my experience. This is not what I just felt coming from Jerusalem. And Philip, you can imagine the smile on his face saying, yeah, that's you. Because that was me. I was on the outside looking in, and yet because of Jesus, I was invited in. And then Philip would have read these words here to the Ethiopian man. Check them out. They're famous verses, but we know them well, but it's always good to hear them again. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. And a few verses later, it says this. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and like a sheep before his shearers is silent. He did not open his mouth. And it finishes like this. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? No one. He was cut off in the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was punished. And this Ethiopian man asks, so is this talking about Isaiah or is it someone else? And you can feel the joy that comes when Philip says, no, it's someone else. It's Jesus. It's the man you crucified. It's the same message that Peter preached at Pentecost that keeps on being preached over and over and over again, that this Jesus whom you crucified, even though you did not physically do it, that your sins crucified him, he died to forgive you, and on the third day God raised them from the dead so you can have new life. So what's the point? Here's the point. The moment that you and I, like the Ethiopian eunuch, like Philip, the moment we find the sacrifice of Jesus real and true, not just in our minds, but deep inside our beings, everything changes. That the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just an intellectual knowledge, but But it's an experience that counteracts every rejection experience when it comes to encountering the God of the universe. It's more of an experience of life on life, of our hearts, of our personal relationships that are broken, and there's sadness, and there's grief, and there's pain, and there's loss. And yet, in the midst of the junk of the world, that we have a sacrificial lamb, that we have a sacrificial Savior who gives Himself, not just for this Ethiopian man, but for you and for me. That speaks a better word of grace. That we no longer have the privilege of being proud for rising to the top or counting our successes, but rather it's all the grace that we have received. And it's only through Jesus, our sacrifice, that we can come to Him or be received into His family. So here's the sign that you've been changed. I get that question a lot. How do I know that I'm a Christian? How do I know that I've been saved? How do I know that I've been changed? Here it is. It's right here. That when you and I, we see a middle-aged Jewish man put his arms around a castrated black man and calls him brother, if that changes the way you see people, your neighbor, your friend, the person you don't think belongs in the church, if your heart moves because of the gospel change, because of what the Holy Spirit did to this Ethiopian man, then you know the Holy Spirit has changed your heart and has given you grace to feel and to live like Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. We ask that it would change us. That as we look at people from different walks, of different lifestyles, of different races, of different ethnicities, that we would not see all that may divide, but rather acknowledge that it's Your grace that unifies us all. That no matter where we've come from, no matter who we are, that our pride would be lower, that our doors would be open, the doors to our churches, the doors to our families, the doors to our homes, the doors to our hearts, and that we would receive folks by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Because indeed, You're the one who changes lives. Thank You for Your grace. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand for prayer. In our prayers today, we remember Andrew and Heather, who were married here on Friday, as well as those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries, and then Sunit Nelson, one of our seniors in high school, St. Charles North, who will be confirmed at our late service today. So let us pray. Most high and holy God, pour out on all of us Your unifying Spirit and awaken in every confession of the whole church a holy hunger and thirst for unity. We thank You for Sunit and for the faith that You have planted in his life. May it grow into an oak tree of righteousness so he might stand firm in that unifying Spirit. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. By Your word, death is overcome. Christ is raised from the dead. We are given new life, and we thank You for the new life You give to us through baptisms, through anniversaries, through birthdays, another year of life that we get to celebrate and share here on earth. And so we boldly share these pieces of good news in both word and action. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. We call to mind all for whom it is easy to forget, those who are homeless and sick and isolated, and all those who have no one to care for them. May we bring help and healing to those who are broken in body and spirit, especially those we name in our hearts today. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. Bless family life everywhere and fill all homes with respect, joy, laughter, and prayer. Strengthen marriages, especially Heather and Andrew, as they celebrate their marriage this weekend. May it mirror, and all marriages mirror, covenant faithfulness that comes from You, and pour out Your Spirit on parents and children to live in Your grace and forgiveness. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. So now, Father, by Your Spirit, we place into Your hands all for whom we pray, trusting in Your Son, Jesus Christ.